Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this conference and this time we can get together and just study your word together. And just thank you for the fellowship that we have as people who understand that we have eternal life in our Savior. And just strengthen us through your spirit to be bold witnesses of that truth in the places in which we live and work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey!
Third parallel session, not the second.
Oh, I'm late. This is the last one, isn't it?
No, don't we have one more?
No, we got the question and answer one. This is the last one. Okay.
Way to out me, guys. Make me feel bad, even worse.
I was kind of surprised at this because what happened was this is the same. They told me they wanted to do this twice. Once in the, on the first day, and they said, well, cause it's so early, no one will be there. But they were like 75 people there. I was like, okay. And, so we really thought that there would be few people on Monday and a lot more people on today, but it's reversed. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through it real quick. Well, we'll go through it, but I hopefully have more time for a question and answers.
And if you were there before, it's the same thing.
But
go to a different workshop.
But you'll have more time for questions. Hopefully, maybe, I don't know, because John Niemela went over. You know, so we're going to blame it on
Shocking.
Him. We're going to blame it on him.
John. I don't believe you. He should go over. It's booting up, you guys. I'm so sorry.
We can grill you with questions right now.
Absolutely.
Ask him a question.
Yes, what's your question?
Should we patent the word free grace so the other, the other ones to quit using it and dragging the name through the mud?
Yeah, you know, that was one of the questions on Monday. You know, should we use the term free grace? And I agree, there's a problem with that. There's a lot of people who use the word free grace that really aren't free grace. And so, but how do you patent it? Because they're going to continue to use it. And so, I mean, that's a good point. And it does tell us that just because someone says free grace, they may be using the term differently than what we mean for it, or what I mean for it. Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. So they've tried to. Yeah, it wouldn't work. Yeah. But basics of free grace theology, what we'll do is just talk about it, then talk about some of the issues here. As I said before, I'll say it again, and I hope you got this with Mike Lee's presentation in the plenary. One of the problems we run into is that it's very, very difficult, and even this question about patenting free grace, it's very difficult because when you talk about what people believe, there's always going to be people who say, well, now I'm in that group, but I don't believe that. And I don't mean to misrepresent anybody. What I'm trying to do is say these are the views that generally they hold. If someone says, well, no, I don't believe that, then I don't have a bone to pick with them. I say, okay, you know, but I think the vast majority of what we're going to talk about, the people that I'm presenting these views would say, yeah, that's pretty close. I think I'm being fair. And if I'm not, you can tell me if you all know better than I do. And some of you may do that. Free grace theology, and what I mean by that is, and what this was originally designed for was for newbies. And I know most of you all aren't newbies, and that's fine. Free grace theology, and what I mean by that is GES, free grace theology, as when I started started studying it, 35 years ago or whatever. That's what I mean by free grace theology here at the beginning. But there is, as rightly was brought up, there are people today who are free grace who disagree with what I'm saying here, and that's one of the issues. But historically, or GES, or when we all were united, if you want to say it that way, free grace theology, here are some of the characteristics of it. And if you've been in this conference this week, you've heard this over and over again, assurances of the essence of saving faith. At the moment of faith, you have assurance, even if you lose assurance later. And that's been brought up a number of times. As a believer, you can lose assurance. In fact, that probably happens a lot in a lot of believers' lives. I think maybe Bob Wilkin is a rarity when he says, I've never once, after I became a believer, ever had questions about my assurance. But at the moment of faith, you believe in the promise of eternal life, so therefore you have assurance. And it's based upon the promise of Christ, as you've heard over and over again. Saving faith is believing that Jesus is the Christ who gives eternal life that can never be lost. And turning from sin or repentance is not a necessary part of faith. And the reason I say necessary, there are some unbelievers who do repent. There are some unbelievers who say, oh, I got to clean up my life. And you do, and you see that. But that's not necessary in order to receive eternal life. And I also want to say that some free grace people, even when I started years and years and years ago, define repentance as a change of mind. And they were considered, and they are considered free grace people as well, that repentance is just synonymous with faith. But what's really going on here with the repentance issue is it was combating the idea that in order to have true faith, you've got to turn from all your sins. And free grace theology rejected that and still does. GES does. And again, hopefully all this week, you've been hearing this over and over again, free grace theology is that faith is being convinced that this is true, that we have eternal life, Jesus promises us eternal life, and I am convinced, I am 100% sure to pick up where Steve Elkins left off, even though that's repeating myself, 100% sure. If you're sure, then you're already 100% sure. So these are fundamentals of free grace theology. Another biggie was, well, then people say, well, what is good works then? If I don't have to turn from my sin, if I don't have to do good works to prove I'm saved, then what is the role of good works? Well, good works are important, but we completely separate it from eternal salvation. Good works impact rewards. Good works are involved in our sanctification or our Christian growth. And good works or turning from sin will allow us to avoid God's discipline. And this is a really big issue. Number seven of what we're going to talk about is that the historical free grace, again, I don't know what you want to call it, GES, that the gospel that is preached by Arminians and the Catholic Church and Lordship Salvation are not saving gospels. But you notice my little thing here. That is not saying that there are no lordship people who, that there are some lordship people. It is saying that there are some lordship people that are saved. There are some Catholics that are saved. And there's Arminians who are saved. But it's, they are saved in spite of what their churches are teaching. Okay? They believed, maybe they believed in vacation Bible school when they were 10 or 12 years old or whatever. They became a believer and then they joined the Catholic Church, or now they say, and in my role in GES, I get emails like this. Every now and then I'll get an email that says, I used to be free grace, but now I'm hardcore lordship Calvinist, you know. And if I take them at their word, then I say, okay, you are a believer, you'll be in the kingdom, but you're really messed up right now, you know. In fact, I remember a conversation I had with Zane a long time ago, and it was in the midst of all this fighting with Lordship Salvation, all the debate, and it was when all the books were being written back and forth. And he told me, he said, he goes, I believe John MacArthur is going to be in the kingdom of God. He said, I had a conversation with John, and he said, yeah, I used to believe what you believe, Zane, and I've rejected it. And Zane said, well, if he believed it, he has eternal life. So, but the important thing here, and you're going to see this later when we talk about the broader free grace movement today, and I believe there are misnomers, and they shouldn't use those phrases, they're going to disagree with number seven. They're going to say these are saving, these churches' messages are saving. So that's the issue. What is Arminian theology? Arminian theology is a theology that says eternal salvation can be lost. Historically, with GES, even though we touch on this, this has really not been the focus. Free grace discussions, like even when I was joining in the late 1980s with the movement and stuff, we really didn't discuss Arminian theology. It was mainly focused on lordship and Calvinism and Reformed theology. And that's the point there. Free grace and Grace Evangelical Society rose mainly out of answering this issue of lordship salvation. And again, in those first years, those books were flying back and forth. MacArthur would write a book, Zane would write a book, MacArthur would write a book, Zane would write a book. It's that kind of thing. And obviously related to this is Calvinism, this idea that if you're truly saved, you're going to persevere in good works. And with Calvinism, you have a lack of assurance. So, Lordship Salvation. Again, this was where most of the debates came through. It agrees with free grace theology that eternal salvation cannot be lost. The only problem is you can't know whether you have it or not under Lordship Salvation because assurance of salvation is not a part of saving faith. And they will say, in fact, that you cannot have assurance of salvation. They could say you can be pretty sure. Which makes sense. If you've got to persevere in good works at the end of your life, well, who knows if they're going to persevere to the end of their life? Nobody. So all you can say is, well, I'm doing pretty good right now, and I've got confidence now that I'm going to be in the kingdom, but I don't know what's going to happen in the future. And assurance cannot be obtained in this life. And as I said on Monday, one of the things I always heard people, even free grace people, say, well, Lordship Salvation people say you can only have assurance on your deathbed. You know, you've persevered, you're on your deathbed, and you can say, hallelujah, I persevered, I must be of the elect, I'm going to be in the kingdom of God. I would disagree with that. I would say if you're a Lordship Salvation person, even on your deathbed you can't have assurance. Even if you've gone, she goes, which one of us can look at our life and go, yeah, I'm good to go? You know, even if we're faithful in our church attendance or anything, and for example, R.C. Sproul, towards the end of his life, he said that. You know, here's a guy, this theologian, written all these books, pastors, Christian ministry, and he goes, it just hit me. Maybe I'm not saved. And you could say that on your deathbed as well. And again, these are the battles that historically free grace people fought. And by the way, it makes sense because most of us who are in seminary, for example, Lordship Salvation, Calvinism, Reform, those were the most likely things that we ran into on a day-for-day basis. True faith, Lordship Salvation is manifested by good works. But again, how many good works? How long do you got to do these good works? They'll continue in good works. And they will say that works play a large role in how much assurance we can have. You know, if I'm 80% sure, it's because I've got a pretty good amount of works in my life. So I'm 80% sure that I'm saved. And obviously with Lordship salvation, in order to be eternally saved, you've got to repent. And by that, they mean turn from your sins and by the name make Jesus Lord of your life. And if you're not willing to make Jesus Lord of your life, then you haven't exercised true faith. Faith with the Reformed, Calvinist, Lordship folks, you can, it's obvious here, as we've talked about in some of the plenary sessions, faith is not just being convinced something is true. There is an intellectual part, okay, I'm convinced it's true, but there's also an emotional part. And that's usually said something like, I feel sorry for my sins. I grieve. I'm repenting because of my sins. And you'll hear them present it, for example, the first part in getting a person to be saved is that you've got to convince them that they're a sinner. Convince them they're a sinner and let them see, and they'll word this in different ways, let them see the gravity of their sin. And they need to be sorry for their sin. And then there is this volitional aspect, which means my will, where typically, okay, I'm sorry for my sin, I see what you've done, and I'm going to make you Lord of my life, and I'm going to turn from my sins. That kind of thing. Now, they're going to, different ones will word it in different way, but that's a general explanation of what faith means. Remember when Steve Elkins was talking Burkhoff's, and he used all those Latin words, fiducia, and you know, faith has all these different aspects to it. Now, this is something that isn't discussed much in the Lordship camp, but I don't want to misrepresent them, but I think they would agree with me on this. I'm pretty sure they would. An Arminian gospel, in other words, if I preach a gospel like this to an unbeliever, you need to feel sorry for your sins, you need to make Jesus Lord of your life, and you need to continue in good works, and if you don't do good works, you will lose your salvation. I think most Lordship salvation people would say, I don't agree with that losing your salvation part, but that's a saving message. Now, there might be a few that would say, oh, no, I think the Arminians are not saved with that either. But I think most of them would. Because you think about it, take Lordship salvation, and you take Arminian. What's the difference? The Lordship salvation guy says, if you don't continue in sin, you're going to go to hell because you never had salvation to begin with. The Arminian says, if you don't continue in sin, you're going to go to hell because you lost your salvation. Well, both of those, you're ending up in the same place. And both of those, you got to have good works. So that's why I think most of them would say, yeah, I have a little bit of a problem with your gospel about losing your salvation. But I think most of them, and you can disagree with me in the question and answer, that's just been my experience. I think most of them would say that's a saving message. And obviously you can see the difference here between what GES is saying. They're saying, no, neither one of those are saving messages. Because you're adding works, and there's no assurance of salvation in either one. The Lordship salvation guy doesn't know if he's going to persevere in good works. Neither does the Arminian. And both of them wind up in hell because they don't do good works. Now, I put Catholic there in question mark because I don't know what the percentages would be. For example, if you ask, I just want you to ask in your mind what you think. What do you think a Lordship salvation person would say about a Catholic who believes that Jesus was born of a virgin, believe that Jesus died on the cross, believe that Jesus rose from the dead, believe that Jesus is coming back, believe that Jesus is going to reign forever, believe that you have forgiveness of sins in Jesus, but you need to go to confession, you need to go to, you know, the church will give you grace as well. Would a Lordship salvation, and let's say the Catholic person feels really bad about their sin. I feel bad about it. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life, but I also get grace from the church. Would the Lordship salvation person say that person is saved or lost? I don't know what they would say. And the reason I bring that up is, and I mentioned this on Monday, a couple years ago I was at a free grace conference, and that was the topic. And they were discussing this very issue. Is the Catholic Church gospel a saving gospel? Now remember, I said there are believers in the Catholic Church. So don't misunderstand me. Is the gospel that the Catholic Church preaches, is that a saving message? Hard to gauge, but I would say in the class, I got the impression maybe 50-50, maybe 60% said that's a saving message. So I bring that up. Okay, I'm going to hurry. One of the things about free grace theology is it emphasizes eternal rewards, that there will be differences among believers in the kingdom of God. Lordship salvation people and Arminian people, they do not believe in rewards, generally speaking. If you go to their churches, they'll never mention it. Why? Because they believe all believers persevere to the end. If all believers are overcoming believers, all believers persevere in good works, then how can there be differences? Eternal life is the reward for the Lordship salvation guy and for the Arminian. That's the reward. And you'll hear them. Well, when it talks about rewards, you're just going to get the crown and you're going to throw it at Jesus' feet, and that's going to be it, and, you know, because that's going to be all of us. But there's been a split. There's been a split, and you've heard Mike Lee talk about it, and I'm just using his terminology. I forgot what did Bob call it? He called it something else. Between flexible and focused, he called it something else. It doesn't matter. Now, as the question was asked, are there differences in the free grace community, people who take the label? Yes. And we're going to go through these pretty quickly. What do they hold in common? These flexible free grace people and focused. And what I mean by focused is I'm using that term to historical, GES folks. We all agree, even the flexible, eternal life cannot be lost. They would also say that they have, the teachers, they have assurance. You can have assurance of eternal life. They also believe that there will be rewards in the kingdom. They also believe, they disagree with Lordship Salvation and Arminian, that you can be carnal. You can be carnal and you can fail miserably. They would say even, most of them would say you could even apostatize from the faith and still be saved. You would still have eternal life. And they believe that many believers will not persevere in good works to the end. They also all agree that Lordship salvation really messes up a lot of passages in Scripture. You know, like faith without works is dead. They would all agree. The Lordship salvation people get that wrong. And the Arminian people get that wrong. And they would also believe you don't have to give up everything and make Jesus Lord of your life in order to be saved. But there's also many differences. Flexible free grace people believe that even though you can have assurance, assurance is not of the essence of saving faith. You can believe a Lordship salvation gospel and still be saved. You can believe an Arminian gospel and still be saved. Many of them would say you can believe the Catholic Church gospel and still be saved. You don't have to have assurance. You don't ever have to have assurance in order to be eternally saved. Because what they say is assurance and eternal security are a sanctification issue. You can believe the gospel that says, okay, I've got to do good works in order to make it into the kingdom of God, and then learn later, oh no, you were wrong. You were wrong. You had eternal life all along. You just didn't know it. That's what they would say. Assurance is a sanctification issue. When you believe in Jesus, even if you don't believe in Him for eternal life, you get it anyway. That's the result. Eternal life is the result. When you believe in Jesus, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. And I believe I got to keep making Him Lord of my life in order to get to heaven. Even though I don't realize it, I receive eternal life. Obviously, there's many different saving messages, and you can see them on here. This is the flexible free grace people. If you believe Jesus is coming again, you're saved. If you believe He died on the cross and rose from the dead, you're saved. If you say, God, I fear you, God, be merciful to me, you're saved. The gospel can be presented in many different ways. I've already said they also believe lordship, salvation, Arminian gospels are saving messages. Most, some, Catholic Church as well. One thing, I'm going to say this on this last one. And it was mentioned, I can't remember if it was Mike Lee or someone else. When I go overseas and teach, like in Zambia and Kenya, what you find is they believe you can lose your salvation for anything. I mean anything. There's a demon behind every tree, behind every rock. You got a demon in you. You got to get it cast out. If you don't tithe, you lose your salvation. You just can't even imagine it. It's Arminian on steroids. The flexible free grace people would say that is a saving message, but they would take it a step further. They would say when you're in context like that, in those kind of environments, you should not mention eternal life. You should not mention assurance because it will be a stumbling block in those cultures. Instead, you should say, Jesus died for you. Jesus rose from the dead. You need to believe that. Jesus is coming again. Understanding that when you say that to those people, in their mind, in those cultures, 99.9999% of them are saying, okay, Jesus is coming again, and now I got to make sure I give 10% or I'm going to go to hell. They would say you should not bring up those issues. Because, again, that's a stumbling block. You can see the huge difference between GES and that kind of theology. Meaning of faith, real quick, is a lot of people in the flexible free grace camp, they redefine faith to include, they'll say a lot of times, some kind of emotion, some kind of will. Steve Elkins, a trusting in him, I'm going to trust in him in some sense that this is part of faith as well. They don't want to go as far as you got to make him Lord of your life, but you do have to have some kind of emotional thing of recognizing your sin or something like that. Okay, I'm not going to summarize it because I want to leave time for questions, whatever time we got. Thank you. I was ignoring him on there. Okay, yes.
How do you respond, or what is your thoughts on, at the moment somebody's born again, what changes occur in their life? Because a lot of times you'll hear somebody that's not free grace saying, there's got to be a change, and then they'll go on to say, if X is happening, then the change didn't happen.
Yeah, I would say that there's always a change. But, for example, now you have assurance of eternal life. I mean, just that. Okay, there's a change. The problem is, as they define it, as you got to see the change in their works, and that's how you judge whether they have. You and I may not see anything. You know, I would have to think that anyone who believes and now have assurance of eternal life, there's a joy. But I may not see a joy. But again, the lordship and the Arminian is going to define that as you see it as a change of life. And we may, you may or may not see that. Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever been to anything like this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a seminary student.
Sure.
I'm a land surveyor.
Yeah.
And I'm in discipleship training with one of the guys that has been here for a long
sure.
time. That's why I'm here.
Happy to have you.
I've never heard of Arminian, mm-hmm. or I've never heard of any of these terms. Like, I've heard of different flavors, you know, like
sure.
Baptist and Methodist and Catholics and all these mm-hmm. things. But anyways, it's very confusing to me when you categorize lordship, salvation, Arminian, Calvinism, because I don't have the background that the people that are pastors or that are seminary students or that have been here multiple times.
So it's like if I went to a class on landscaping.
Yeah. Land survival.
That too. Either one.
Land surveying is not.
Okay. Either one. I wouldn't have any idea. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
But all I'm saying is that, you know, I can ask my mentor, and I plan to.
Sure.
I'm just letting you know that, like, I heard some comments at lunch from a couple of guys that had been here many years, and one of them was stating that, well, in the past, all of the presenters spoke at a more doctoral level, and now things are being much more understandable by common men as far as a lot of the presentations, which for me, I'm thinking, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, what do you all think? Is that better? Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, layman term.
Well, layman, right.
And so that's just something I was going to bring up that, you know, I'll get answers to all of
sure.
This. And my wife's in prison, okay? And she's a very big student of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
She's asking me a lot of questions about, because I'll say this in the last few days, I've said something. We speak on the phone once or twice every day. And so she's got my brain between all the fire hosing of the data from all y'all. And then the questions that she's asking, I mean, I'm overwhelmed. I need to find out a lot about, because she claims to be a Calvinist, but I don't know that she really knows what that means based on what I've...
Right, and she might not.
Because she sounds more like free grace.
Yeah.
But, you know, sure. Again, she's limited to podcasts and, you know, there's no internet. She gets sermons mailed to her from different pastors and stuff like that. So anyway, I'm just saying that...
Well, I will tell you, don't feel alone.
Yeah.
I remember, yeah, well, even now when I come here, I feel like I'm drinking out of a fire hose, you know, and so...
So, the term Arminian, can you give me an example of a Lordship Salvation or an Arminian denomination in this era?
Sure. An Arminian is someone who believes you receive eternal life, but then you can lose it.
You can give it back.
You can give it back, okay. And you can do it by sinning, like... I'm a Christian and I commit adultery. Well, then I've lost my salvation.
They are usually defined like the
days.
He loves me. He loves
me. Yeah. And an Arminian denomination would be like a Pentecostal church.
Okay.
Assemblies of God.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of those.
Assemblies of God is an Arminian. You can lose your salvation. A Lordship Salvation person is somebody who says that I'd never lose my salvation. But if I don't do good works, I never had salvation. I was never saved in the first place. And there are a ton of those.
A lot of that comes from a belief in many denominations with the passage that tells you that you will know them by their fruit, which is quite falsely used to identify Christians or not. But it's really used to identify false prophets. So
I attend a Bible church, but I'm not convinced that it's a free grace.
It may very well not be. In fact, most are not. No, most are not.
Okay.
A lot of Baptist churches are Lordship.
Yeah. Okay.
You would probably call Lutheran churches Lordship as well. A lot of Bible churches are Lordship as well. And you're right. A lot of people attend them and they don't even know the label. They don't even know these issues.
Okay. Hey, I know.
No. No, that's good. This is
the,
no, no, this is great. Hey.
Yeah. You got to fess up when you mess up.
No,
you
no.
Back on track.
No, I remember when I first come in.
Yeah.
I will tell you a true story. I'll show you how bad I was. When I got here, I didn't understand what was going on. I'll tell you all this story. Don't tell anybody I told you all this. But I had all these questions, and I wanted to ask Zane Hodges,
yeah.
But everyone was around him, and I couldn't get around him, and I just kept watching him till he wasn't around. He went in the men's room.
Oh, yeah.
And I follow him in the men's room, and he's peeing in the urinal.
Yeah.
And so I go next to him. I don't even have to pee. I said, Zane, I don't even remember what question I had. So I'm asking him the question. And then I come out, my wife is there. And she goes, what did you just do? I said, I had to go ask Zane a question. It's the only place I could get him. And the bishop goes, will you let that man pee in peace? There you go. So that's the way I was. So I'm just like you. That is a true story, too.
Can I just ask, I know she has got a question, but we were having a regional, and somebody said a similar thing where they were like, I've never heard of these terms before, but there was a comment I thought was really good because we said, you may not have heard of them, but you know it.
Yes,
whether you realize it or not, and let me give you an illustration.
We all know it, right?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
You know it, but you don't surrender all. Right,
that's
right.
Calvinism. Yeah. It's saying in order for you to be saved, you have to surrender your life. You have to give your heart to Jesus. You have to do. And that's, I think, sometimes we don't know the terms, but you know what it is.
Yeah. Okay, over here.
Kind of a comment question. With the gospel, it's the good news and bringing hope to people. When we preach salvation to them, we're supposed to be bringing hope. Mm. Not all this flexible free grace.
Right.
And the Lordship salvation. And you, I know you and Catherine go overseas to where these people do feel like they're going to lose their salvation. Because
right.
That's what they've been bombarded with.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable.
So when you bring the message of truth that you cannot, that you have eternal life through the gift, how is the response? Do they totally reject you, or do they...
Most say, I believe it. I believe that now I have eternal life. I know I have eternal life. But it's interesting, a lot of them, then they will say, even though they... You won't believe how many times I hear this.
Okay.
I know it's true. I know I have eternal life. Usually we talk to pastors. But then they will say, but I can't teach that in my church or they'll fire me.
Oh.
So they believe it. And so it's... Yeah, so like, so, but yes, because when you look at the scriptures, and see, that was in the GES historically, that's what was so great about it, because guys like all the free grace teachers back then, they would lay the scriptures out and be like, it's obvious. It's obvious that this lordship or this Calvinist way that I got to do these things or I never was saved to begin with. That they've misinterpreted all those passages. And it's the same thing in Africa. When you go there and you show them, they go, yeah, we see it. Yeah, you're right. But if I do this, I'll lose my job and I've got to support my family. And so they're obviously starting out. They're young baby Christian, you know, and it's tough for them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In my experience, the second one first. They always hide the elect aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at least I never hear them say. Yeah, can I say something? And they're going to say that I'm absolutely wrong. They don't say this, but let me give you an example of that. A very stark example. Suppose you have you're a Calvinist and you believe this, and you believe that only few are saved. Let's say 10% are the elect, and you have somebody in your church.
Explain election.
Election is God picks who goes to heaven and who goes to hell before they're born, and you have
predestinated.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, and so they will say they'll never. At least I've never heard them, and I was with a lot of Calvinist chaplains, and I never heard one say this. I know I'm way over. I'm done. Okay, but here's the deal. Okay, you have a woman in your church who has a baby who's stillborn. You're a Calvinist preacher. What do you say when that woman comes to you and says, "Is my baby with the Lord?" If you're a Calvinist, you say, if you're honest, about a 90% chance the baby's in hell. And they never say that. At least I never heard them. In fact, the Army sent me to Southern Seminary for a year to get a degree when I was on active duty, and it's a strong Calvinist school. And just recently I heard they've kind of changed the way they present that. And now they say, now, at least I've heard from some of the folks there, they say, well, if you're a baby, then you're of the elect. That's the way they say it now. But that's not what I've heard through the years. So you're right. They hide it. They hide it. They will not say what they really believe, in my opinion, on that. Well, reword it again. Say it again.
I've heard the argument that it's not, you're not necessarily showing your faith by your words. You're showing it by showing the fruit of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, patience. If you don't possess that fruit, you don't show the evidence of that fruit in your life.
Right. And so you're once again looking at your works. Free grace people would say that's a sanctification issue, where as you walk by the Spirit produces a fruit in your life. And you may or may not do that. But the Calvinist is going to say it's automatic. If you're truly saved, you're going to walk by the Spirit and you're going to produce those things. And we would say no. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for staying over.
If you all want the slides, just hit me up, okay?
Yeah.
And I can send them to you. Okay.
Thank you all. Her name is Catherine Wright. What was that now?
If someone comes back, like say they're a Calvinist and they walk away from the Lord for whatever reason, but the last 5 minutes of their life they persevere. I mean, how long do you have to persevere? What would most of them say?
One of the things they never. The Calvinists will say you can fall away, but you can only fall away temporarily. You can only fall away for a short period of time, but they never define how long that is. So in your case, if I'm understanding your illustration probably in your mind, let's say I walk away for 10 years. They would, most of them would say, well, you weren't saved then. But if you come back, you were saved then.
But how about when you come back?
Yeah.
5 minutes before you die?
Oh, yeah, they would say that's okay. That's okay.
To me, it's just like...
Yeah. I always tell people, if you're Calvinist, I say... Don't become a believer, if you really believe that, don't become a believer when you're young, because you're going to have all kinds of sin in your life. Wait till you're in, you know, wait till you're almost dead and you're on your deathbed, then do it. Yes.
And do they believe in, like, heaven's communism?
They do believe everyone will be equal. Yes. They don't believe in rewards. Yeah. It's very rare to hear a Calvinist lordship person talk about rewards. In fact... Do it in your church. Well, not in your church, but if you go to a lordship church and you bring up rewards, what you'll find is people have been in that church for 60 years, never heard of it. Never heard rewards mentioned. Yes, throwing them at his feet. Yeah. Exactly. That is exactly what you'll hear. I've never heard of that.
It's